ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we saw in the previous day the second shloka of Maya Panchakam. So today we will see the third shloka of Maya Panchakam. So again, summarizing whatever we have learned till now. So Maya is something which is not at all existing, something which is unreal. Unreal means it doesn't exist at all. So that which doesn't exist, ya ma sa maya, that which doesn't exist is called maya, is maya, and such a maya, since it makes it appear as if the world, the dual world that we see is real. So it makes it appear as if like whatever we experience in the world, experience as the world, is real. So such a maya, its power is very strong. Its power is so strong that it is like it is almost impossible to overcome maya unless a person is very vigilant. A person is constantly aware, a person constantly stays or remembers the truth of Brahman, only then a person will be able to overcome this maya, which is very, very tough. And it is so tough that even people who have learned the scriptures, they get deluded by maya very easily. So easily they get deluded by maya. So we saw Shruti Shata Nigamanta Shodakanapi Ahaha Nanadi Nidarshanena Sadhyaha Kalushayati Chatushpada Dhyabinnan Tu Agadita Gatana Patiyasi Maya. So we saw in the last day that this maya, even a person like who has learned a lot of scriptural texts, a person who is able to give critical analysis, or a person who is able to explain the various scriptural works, so even such a person is very easily deluded and becomes in par with four-legged creatures. So like we know the shloka from Yoga Vasishtha, Chaturvedyapi Yo Viprah Susukshmam Brahmana Vindati Veda Bhara Bhara Krantah Savai Brahmana Gardabaha. A person who has learned all the scriptural works but who doesn't know Brahman, the Susukshmam, that which is Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atma Asya Jantor Nihitam Guhayam. So this Atman, which is subtler than the subtlest, greater than the greatest, such an Atman, such a Brahman, a person who doesn't know such a Brahman, such a person, though he may know all the four Vedas, still such a person is very ignorant, such a person is deluded by Maya, and therefore he carries the load. He is like a Brahmin donkey, a donkey carrying the load of Vedas. Vedas are of no use for such a person. So what this means is that we have to always remain vigilant. We have to remain alert. Alertness should be there. So even as when we are driving in a freeway, when it is snowing, even when we are driving in a freeway, when it is snowing, so like when it is snowing and we are driving, so we don't stop driving. We will still keep driving, but we will be a little bit alert, we'll be cautious, we will remain very alert as to what is happening. So that is something that we have to do. So that is something like a sadhaka has to implement in the spiritual path as well. A sadhaka should always be alert, because one momentary lapse from Brahman, from remembering that this entire world is one being, one entity of Brahman, that Brahman which pervades this entire world, if we forget that, then we will get deluded by Maya. That Maya is very tough to overcome. Therefore, each and every minute we have to remain alert, remain focused. Focus should never go away from Brahman. So, in the previous shloka, Maya was explained, Brahman's nature, and then Maya was explained. In the second shloka, we saw as to the effect of Maya. Maya, like, even deludes the greatest preachers, greatest learned people as well. They are deluded by Maya. And we also saw Maya deludes through I and mine, aham and mama. So that is with respect to the individual. So that is with respect to one person, with respect to us or me. So what about this entire world? So this entire world is also a delusion in Brahman. So this Brahman which is the basis of Maya, which means basis of Maya means even as the desert. In the desert, like we see water, we are going and it's a very sunny day. So we are walking in the desert and we see water in desert, which is just a mirage. And the mirage that we see is based on desert, because desert is the substratum, desert is the truth. So similarly, it is in Brahman that all this illusion happens. And this illusion, this delusion of Maya, what it does is it creates this duality. And after creating this duality, it deludes a person into believing the duality to be real. All the while, Brahman still remains non-dual, witness, blissful, and all those we can say. So Brahman, this is where we should remember that even when a person gets deluded, so that delusion itself is not real. So it is like a delusion in dream. Like when we are dreaming, like we run here and there, it is a delusion. It is very tough to conquer, but still it is a delusion. So it is a delusion means like it's not real. So Maya itself is not real. Maya is not at all real. Maya is just something like which seems to be there. And when we think like such a Maya, the power of such a Maya is that it makes it agadita gatana patiyasi Maya. The power of Maya is that it makes it it makes it appear, makes the world appear as if it is very real, very convincing. So even as a great magician, even as like one of the best magician, like a very good magician like PC Sarkar or other person, will like such a person might create, weave a web of magic. The web is unreal. It is unreal, but still like it is his capability that he makes it feel as if it is very real. It is true, too real. So that's why at times we say too real to be true, but the world is not too real. So Maya is not a foolish power. Maya is like something which is intelligent, because it knows. It deludes us constantly. So such delusion is very constantly there. And like this Maya, so we know like Maya, speaking about Maya, we have to deal a little bit of all these technical terms. If it is, if you're not able to understand, just ignore it, that's fine. So Maya, this delusive power, which is an illusion, which is unreal, which is based on Brahman, because Brahman alone exists. It has two aspects. So two aspects, generally Vedanta says that one aspect, it is a it's not a simultaneous aspect. So it is like consecutive aspects of Maya are like our Maya is kind of leads to the creation of this world and we getting deluded into the world. So those two powers or those two aspects are also called powers. So those two powers are, one is avaranam, avarana shakti, and second is vikshepa shakti. So avarana shakti means veiling, avaranam means veiling. So veiling power and projecting power. So veiling power veils the truth, projecting power projects another other things on the truth. So taking the example of seeing a snake in the rope. So when we see the rope, first of all, like what happens is we don't know the rope. So when we don't know the rope, which means we are ignorant of the rope. So when we are ignorant of the rope, the true nature of the rope is veiled. So veiling happens. So veiling means like it's not a real veil like Muslims wear that veil. It's not like that veil. It is just an illusion. The common example that is given is like clouds veil the sun. So clouds veil the sun. Clouds like seemingly. I'm sorry. So clouds veil, like seemingly veil the sun. They don't really veil the sun, but they seemingly veil. So we know scientifically or with respect to science, we can say like clouds can never veil the sun. But still it looks as if sun, the clouds veil sun. Similar is this veiling. So the rope is very well right in front of us. But still we feel as if the rope is not there, the rope is not real. So what then what happens is once the rope is veiled, the rope is not known, the rope is veiled, then what happens is naturally what will happen if we don't know the rope is like if we see the rope from a far distance, we don't know what it is, then what will happen? We will mistake it for something else. That is the second power, vikshepam, projection. So we project other things on the rope. So other things like things which might seem very similar, the things which we know. So it's not just similar, things which we know. If we don't even know what is a snake, like we will not see the snake in the rope. We may see something else. We may see a stick in the rope. We may see, like, even there are people like who may see a person in the rope. It's not unheard of that a person sees like another person in the rope. Anything can be seen. It's based on what is there in our mind, based on what we know. So applying this to the world or Brahman. So Brahman, like we don't know Brahman. So why don't we know Brahman? Like that is something like that is Maya. That is the power of Maya. And Maya like makes it appear as if an unreal entity is real. So where from this Maya has come, like we cannot answer it. So when we try to answer like where is Maya, we will have to go back to the source of Brahman. Brahman is a substratum. So it is like asking where from the water came, when the water came, how the water came in desert. When we try to analyze deeper into it, then we will see that, we will find that there is no water at all, then how can, where from it can come? When can it come? How can it come? So nothing is feasible with respect to the water seen in desert when we try to analyze. But until that analysis happens, analyze the water in desert. So if we don't analyze the water in desert, the water appears to be very real. And like the problem with that is, as we discussed in the previous day, water is not there. So similarly, this world like is changing, temporary and changing. It's not there. So that means 1 minute objects are there, the next minute it's not there. So today we see somebody, tomorrow like the person will vanish from earth. So when that happens, we will end up in sorrow. So anityam asukam lokam. So this world is temporary and sorrowful. So the same with water and desert. Like what is the problem of seeing water in desert? We may think that water exists. So when we think water exists, we will run behind water because we are thirsty. So we may not even feel thirsty, but looking at the water, we may feel thirsty and we may run behind it. And when we run behind it, so like when we run behind it, we are expecting water to be there. When we don't get water, then we become sad. So sorrow is the end result of such a delusion, which is also called Maya in this case with respect to the world. So we cannot really, like when we try to analyze where from this Maya has come, there can be only one explanation. There is no Maya at all. Then why do we say that this Maya has this power, that power and all those? That is a logical way to explain to us as to why we are suffering now. So why we are suffering now? Because there is something called Maya. Now I understand. So instead, like if we try to tell to a person, like a person who comes to learn Vedanta for the first time, oh, there is no world, there is no Maya, then what will happen? The person will run away. So there are slowly, like things have to be explained. So that is why these concepts are there. So anyway, that question of where from Maya has come, why it has come, how it has come, when it has come, all those cannot be answered. All those are not at all required because there is no Maya at all. But since currently we are experiencing sorrow, sorrow is the effect of Maya. So that means like we have to assume that such a Maya temporarily exists for us. So then like how does it work? It starts its work. So it starts by veiling Brahman. So we don't know Brahman. So if we know Brahman, like where is Maya? There is no Maya, because we'll learn in the Shastras that once we realize Brahman, there is no Maya. He overcome Maya. Maya metam taranti. Taranti te. Like we overcome Maya. Like when we overcome Maya, then where is where is anything other than Brahman? So there is only Brahman. So there is, we know Brahman. So when we don't know Brahman, so when Brahman is not known, when we are ignorant of Brahman, then Brahman appears to be veiled. So Maya veils Brahman. And like after veiling Brahman, in Brahman, so even as like this rope is first veiled and then we project the snake on the rope, similarly Brahman is veiled and we focus on the world that is there. The world is projected on Brahman. So that is why this world is Namarupam in Brahman. The world is Namarupam in Brahman because the world is something which is projected on Brahman. Namarupam is projected on Brahman. So even as gold ornaments, they are gold. The name and the form are just a projection on them. A wise person will never get deluded or distracted by the name and form, because a wise person will always remember that those are only gold and gold alone. But an ignorant person will not know. So that is how Maya works. So Maya makes it like, creates this dual world by superimposing it on Brahman and then making it appear as real. So once this world becomes real, this world is also called Samsara Sagaram, an ocean of Samsara. Oh, Samsara means Samsaranam. Samsaranam means transmigration, which means Jananam Maranam. Janma Marana Punarapi Jananam Punarapi Maranam. So that is what is called samsaram, and it is a sagaram because ocean, we cannot find like the ends of an ocean or the shores of an ocean. We cannot find the shores of an ocean. Similarly, this ocean is something like which seems to be very vast, which seems to be never ending. Even spiritual seekers, like when they start in the spiritual path, after they tread the spiritual path for a few years, still they will struggle. So they may even, like there are people like who may even doubt their own progress. So am I progressing? Are things working up fine? have I progressed a little towards Brahman? Is this world like, and it's the sorrows of the world getting reduced? Am I able to experience bliss? So all those will be things that a person, a sadhaka himself, will doubt. So that is why it is called Sagaram. It is an ocean. It is like an ocean, it is never ending. So it's never ending, it seems to be never ending, and it leads to more and more sorrow. Even as ocean can only give us sorrow. Ocean means like it is, once we enter into the ocean, then what will happen? Like we can't go anywhere, we can't survive, we will be immersed in the ocean. So that is the state of a person who is suffering. So all this samsara sagaram, this ocean of samsara, as well as if we are getting immersed in it, so we are suffering in it, we are part of it, we are suffering, all those are notions created by Maya. It is just a Brahman. It is just a delusion. It's not real. A delusive person, even as a person like who has had some concussion, damage to the brain, such a person might get deluded into thinking that he hears voices, he sees people and all those. In the same way, a person who is deluded by Maya thinks that this world is real. And as a result of that, tries to, like, it doesn't, as we saw in the previous day, it doesn't end there. A person gets deluded into believing he is part of this samsaram, and thereby he tries to conquer samsaram. So conquering samsaram is, which is essential even for a sadhaka. So conquering samsaram can be done in two ways. So like we can conquer, we can try to conquer, not in two ways, but we can approach it in two ways. We can try to conquer samsaram by really trying to conquer samsara, or we can try to conquer samsaram by trying to find its substratum. So if we think that the samsaram, like this ocean is real, then what will we do? We'll try to find out the shore. We'll try to survive in the ocean. We'll try to overcome it. So if we think that the rope that we see is a real snake, then we'll try to run away from it. We'll try to beat it, and we'll do all those. So that is trying to overcome samsara by considering samsara to be samsara or real. And the second is a jnani's approach or a sadhaka's approach, where a sadhaka doesn't try to overcome samsaram. A sadhaka tries to realize Brahman, and through realizing Brahman, samsaram automatically gets conquered. So that is why people who try to do a lot of things in this world, like the US President Obama, trying to overcome economy, or whatever is happening with economy, the economy is not progressing that well, so recession is still happening, or Haiti, like the earthquake in Haiti, trying to overcome it. So all those are required, terrorist attack, trying to evade terrorist attack. So all those are required, all those are something like a person has to strive for, a person has to struggle and act towards. But a person who thinks that all those are ways to conquer samsaram, such a person can never conquer samsaram. So it is like a person goes to sleep and dreams. So in dream, the person sees a big lion or tiger, and thereby he tries to run away from the tiger. So he is trying to run away, but as much as he tries to run away, the lion follows him. So this happens for a long period of time. So he is trying to conquer the lion in the dream world. So being inside the dream world, he tries to conquer the lion. It is impossible. But conquering the lion is very impossible if the person decides to wake up. So similarly, this samsara sagaram, like if we try to conquer samsara sagaram by being in samsara sagaram through the means that are available in the samsara sagaram, it is impossible. So we have to come out of the samsara sagaram. So that is the way to way to overcome samsaram. So again, why do we have to overcome samsaram? Because samsaram is dukkham. Samsaram gives us sorrow. Worldly experiences, the world itself gives us only sorrow. So any person who has lived in the world for a period of time, for some years, few years, will know that like this world is sorrowful. The world constantly gives us sorrow and sorrow only. Like if we go to a 70-year-old or 80-year-old person, our grandparents, they will definitely say that, okay, this samsaram has only given them sorrow. And even if samsaram has given them happiness, what will they say? Oh, I was happy. So I was happy when I was young. So that itself, the thought of that happiness itself gives dukkham. So samsaram is dukkham constantly. So that is why whoever tried to conquer samsaram by conquering the world or samsaram as such, they have been failures. The way to conquer samsaram, if there is only one way to conquer samsaram, which is by going to the source of samsaram, substratum of samsaram, which is by realizing Brahman. So realizing Brahman, or striving to achieve Brahman, realize Brahman, that is what is called as Vairagyam. So Vairagyam means like, Vairagyam has two aspects to it. So one is knowing that this world is temporary and sorrowful, or Jagan Mithya, as Shankara says. And the second is Brahma Satyam, knowing that Brahman is real and I want to realize Brahman. The attachment, passion towards realizing Brahman. So that is the second aspect. These two aspects make up Vairagyam. And Vairagyam, if Vairagyam, proper Vairagyam is there, we will gain knowledge. We will not only gain knowledge, but we will implement knowledge. Rather than making knowledge just an intellectual quality or intellectual property, which leads to boosting of the ego, which doesn't lead us anywhere, which deludes us more and more, as we saw in the previous shloka. So instead of that, if Vairagyam is very strong, we will not get deluded by the world. We will be focused on Brahman, and like we will be able to realize Brahman very quick. So that is something like Vairagyam is something that we have to strive for. But one, like Vairagyam means again Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam. So that is something like which we have to get very convinced about. So we have to think, as Krishna says, Vimrishyetat Asheshena Yate Chasi Tata Kuru. So analyze, critically analyze this as much as you want. And then do as you want, as you wish. So we have intellects, like we are not fools that somebody has to tell us that this is the truth. This is truth, follow it. This is truth, imagine it, keep it in mind. Nobody has to tell us that, because like we are grown-ups, we have some intelligence, some intellect, so we can think for ourselves. So we have to think, analyze over and over again. So again and again, Lakshmi Darakkavyehe Sukti Sharadambhoja Sambrataha Advaita Makarandoyam Vidvat Bringer Nipiyatam. So, a person should drink again and again this nectar of Advaita, this nectar of Vedanta, this essence of Vedanta, which is that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This world, this dual world that we see is just an illusion, it is not real. Brahman alone is real. We have to repeat it over and over again. As much as it takes for us to get so convinced that even if we are sleeping and somebody wakes us up and asks, okay, what is truth, what is real, we should be able to say, oh, Brahman is real, Jagat is Mithya. And a person who is so convinced about this Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, such a person has Vairagyam, and such a person will very easily overcome this samsara sagaram. So when the samsara sagaram has been overcome, or when a person overcomes the samsara sagaram, then what is the experience? Sukachit akanda vibhodam advitiyam. So such a person will realize Brahman which is sukam, sukha chit. So sukha ananda swarupam chit, which is conscious, which is pulsating, which is not insentient like a rock. It is pulsating. It exists of its own. It experiences, I exist, I exist. So that this pulsation is there inside us. But this pulsation like is kind of veiled by the ego, which says, I am this. I am mine. So dual notions, when dual notions creep into the mind, that is when the real I inside us, the Brahman inside us, which is our true nature, that gets veiled. And when that gets veiled, other things gets projected on it, like I am a man, I am in such a place, I am working, I am beautiful, I have so much knowledge, and all those creep in. So that, like, if we get rid of that through contemplating that I am Brahman, then we will realize that that pulsation is always there. So even when we are deluded, that pulsation is always there. So nobody, like people go to spiritual masters seeking to know Ishvara, they never doubt their existence. People might doubt Ishvara existing, so that such people are called atheists. Nirishwaravadis, the people are there like who don't believe in Ishvara, but like nobody doubts their own existence because our very nature is existence. We are existing. Even like when the entire world goes against us still, we will never doubt our own existence because we know we exist. So that chit, so that blissful chit, akhandam, which is indivisible, indivisible, like it is, it doesn't have any parts, it doesn't have any chain, it exists of its own, it doesn't require any other existence. Vibhodam, so chit means like a consciousness, bodham means knowledge, vibhodam means vishesha bodham, it is very, very special knowledge in that it is the basis of all knowledge. So Brahman is the basis of all knowledge. How is Brahman the basis of all knowledge? Because everything that which exists is Brahman, is based on Brahman. So that means Brahman becomes the knowledge of all. So eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam. When we realize Brahman, we will realize everything because Brahman is the essence, as we talked about yesterday. Like a person, when a person knows the essence of gold, he knows everything. So knowing gold means knowing all gold ornaments. In a similar way, when we know Brahman, we will know everything, like we will know Brahman, like we will know everything, we will know this entire world, we will know the entire world, because Brahman is the basis of the world itself. So knowledge of Brahman means knowledge of everything. So knowledge of Brahman means knowledge of everything. So that is where the Shastras start. Mundaka Upanishad says that in Mundaka Upanishad, the disciple, a householder, Shaunaka, goes to Agastya and asks, Kasminnu Bhagavo Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati. O Lord, O Guru, teach me, tell me that by knowing which I'll know everything. So everything, like if we, always like we want to achieve everything, we want to be the peak. So that means like we want to gain everything in the world. So desires, possession, knowledge, power, fame, everywhere like we want everything. So that everything, like tell me that by knowing which I'll know everything. That means that by knowing which I'll get everything. I'll become fulfilled. I'll become content. So then Agastya explains him, Angiras Muni. So Angiras says that, replies to him that Brahman is the basis of this entire world, which means by knowing Brahman we will know everything. It's like whatever exists in the world, we'll know, like if we know Brahman. So that Brahman is the basis of everything. So if so such a Brahman, like it is vibhodam, it is a special bodham, which means it is the knowledge of everything. So there are some different readings as well. In one of the sites, like in sanskritdocuments.org, so that is the the shloka given, so Vibhodam Advitiyam. So there may be different readings. So these works of Shankara, these small works of Shankara have like, can very well have like various readings rather than just one reading. Because there have been cases like Bhaja Govindam. So as time passes by, many of these are interpreted like, and earlier, today we can write down something, so we can write down something and like book it or tag it, keep it in library. But in ancient times, the only mode of communication or the mode of transfer of knowledge was verbal. So nobody used to write down things. So a person has to keep in mind. So like as time passes by, like one or two like things would have got appended. So like in the site, whatever document is there that says as so kashid akanda bodham advitiyam, so it doesn't matter. So advitiyam, so bodham means like it is vishesha jnanam, it is like pulsating knowledge of everything, essence of everything. Advitiyam, so advitiyam means like non-dual, it that alone exists. So we if Brahman is the essence of everything, then what exists? Only Brahman exists. What else can exist? Brahman is the essence of everything, and what exists? Only the essence exists. The duality doesn't exist at all. So in such a Brahman, like all the like Viyad, Analadi, Vinirmitav, Niyojya. So like Brahman gets kind of mixed, a conjunction. We can say conjunction is right, maybe it's not the right word. A kind of a mixing of Brahman with the objects that create or constitute the world. So the world constitutes the pancha, we can say pancha bhutas, space, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. So akasham, vayu, agni, jalam, and prithvi. So we know that very well. So all those, like in all of those, Brahman gets mixed. So mixed means like Brahman gets veiled, and all these get superimposed on Brahman. We consider duality as real, and this non-dual entity, in this non-dual entity which is Brahman alone exists. In that non-dual entity, we see duality as existing. And this is a Brahma. So, Brahmayati Bhavasagare Nitantam. So, in this ocean of samsara, so this ocean of samsara means like, what is the ocean of samsara? It is Maya. What is Maya? Dvaitam, duality. So, we can argue that, okay, technically that is wrong, but like Maya creates duality, so it is as good as telling Maya is duality. So, in this samsara sagaram, makes it appear as if duality is real. Brahman gets veiled, Brahman vanishes, and this is Brahman. And this, in this Brahman, nitantam, very soon, and not just very soon, but constantly. So, nitantam means very soon, it is satatam is another word we can add, like constantly. So constantly Maya deludes a person. So this delusion happens over and over again. It is not something like that Maya says, oh, I have deluded this person for the last 1 week, so let me take a break. So Maya never takes a break. It always deludes a person. This delusion always remains. So, and this delusion happens immediately. So one momentary lapse is enough. Oh, that is tough to believe. Yeah, it isn't tough to believe that one momentary lapse from the road can cause a serious accident. So that is something like which is feasible, that is which is possible, but when it comes to Vedanta, we cannot accept. So that is how the worldly notion today is. People see Vedanta as like the last resort. So, if this entire world is going to get destroyed, and there is no other way than learning Vedanta, then like people may think about learning Vedanta. Again, think about learning Vedanta. So many people like when they are asked to learn Vedanta, or when they hear other people learning Vedanta, they'll tell, oh, like, you are so young, why do you have to learn Vedanta now? And there is a life ahead of you. So you have a lot of time, like, for now, go get married, have some children, and then, like, you can learn Vedanta. The only question that can be asked to such idiots is, yes, idiots, seriously idiots, such idiotic people is, are you learning Vedanta at this age? No, like, I still have, like, 10 more years, so I'll learn. In 10 more years, what will happen? Grandchildren, like, grand-grandchildren come, and, like, then, that is it. I don't have any time, you know, like, and there are some kids in the house, so I can't learn Vedanta. So that is how it will be. That is how our society is, the society that we see today. It's a pitiful situation that the so-called elderly people who are supposed to be torch bearers of Vedanta, they themselves don't know any Vedanta. And whenever some young person, like a youngster, wants to learn Vedanta, they'll not let them learn Vedanta. That is how this Brahman, this delusion is it is very, very powerful that it happens constantly. And when it comes to Vedanta, this Brahman is so strong that maybe Maya is also intelligent. So Maya is so intelligent that it will not, okay, don't call Maya it. Maya means she, okay, it doesn't matter whether we call it a she, he or it, doesn't matter. So anyway, Maya, the Maya knows that, like, if a person starts learning Vedanta, really learning Vedanta, then Maya has no existence of its own. So then therefore, like, maybe Maya is deluding us from learning Vedanta in one way or the other. So today, like, Vedanta is, people can't even see Vedanta, people don't even know Vedanta. Therefore, like, there is no gati at all. And, like, in such society, when we are in such a society will have no gati at all. That's why we see, with respect to technology, we have advanced quite a lot. Science has advanced quite a lot. So there are, like, the external world, if we see from a world perspective, whatever we need to lead a very happy life, all those are there. And as Amma says, like, amidst all these pleasures, what do people do? People stay in their home, and then they either have to drink alcohol, or they have to, like, have some parties, or they will have to take two or three sleeping pills in order to sleep. Even sleep is something which doesn't come. So when I used to stay in a previous house in New Jersey, so the people there used to be surprised because I used to sleep a lot. They can't sleep. How can you sleep? Like, if you have so much worry, so much thought, how can you sleep? You cannot sleep. There will be no sleep because sleep means, like, a peaceful state. Even if we are very tired, like, if we are so worried, like, we will not get any sleep. Sleep will not come. That is how life is today. As Amma says, like, today people sit in air-conditioned rooms and they commit suicide. So the world is such that, like, we see so many suicides, so many people dying, so many people, like, struggling, so many people very sad. So if we take a survey of people working in offices and find out how many of them are, like, at least content or happy, even, like, 10%. 10% they are happy, like, it will be very less. And it's not just with profession, even with worldly, like, marital life and all those are the same. How many divorces are happening? So the so-called elders also will say, Vedanta, no, don't learn Vedanta, go marry. After 10 years you can do. After 10 years, what, there will be kids around to take care of, then what we learning Vedanta? This doesn't mean, like, we should not marry. It's up to, it's an individual's decision. Vedanta doesn't depend on marriage or renunciation. All those are based on a sadhaka, like, based on the level of a sadhaka. So driving can be very, very, very easy, driving can be very tough as well. So we can't generalize saying that driving is very easy or driving is very tough. It all depends on a seeker. One person might be driving with one hand. Another person cannot do that. Another person will have to do with both the hands. So it depends from person to person. So Vedanta just says, like, remembering Brahman. Remembering that Brahman alone exists here, that is enough. Wherever we are, we can do that. But whether we will be able to do in diverse situation, like when we are married, when we are in a liquor shop, like if we have to remember Brahman, can we do that? That is up to an individual. So Swami Vivekananda was able to do, like, amidst even long back. Now itself, like the West is filled with worldly people, worldly thoughts. So that would have been like much more in ancient times. So Swami Vivekananda was able to survive. Remember, like, Brahman in this culture, in this environment as well. So some people maybe, but just because Swamiji was able to do that, that doesn't mean we will also be able to. It is up to an individual to decide. So anyway, Maya Brahmayati Bhavasagare Nithantam. So this Maya, like, constantly deludes us. So one momentary lapse is enough. So that one momentary lapse, if we do, even as, like, in the driving case, so that is the main point. The driving case, like, when we talk about driving, like, a person, like, one lapse we can cause accidents. The same with Vedanta as well. One momentary lapse is enough to get us deluded, like, enough to make us fall down. So Amma gives the story, like, we know the story, but, like, again, repeating over and over again. So repetition is something which is essential for us to learn. So when we drive, like, from A to B, like, we may not know the route, so we'll have to use GPS the first time. But, like, when we go the second time, it will become a little clearer. Third time, more clearer. So when we do it, like, when we go through that route over and over again, then we don't even have to, like, we can even drive with closed eyes. Considering that other cars are not there, don't try it. So luckily none of you drive, so it is okay. But, like, if you drive, then don't say, oh, yesterday I learned that you can close your eyes and drive. Yeah, don't try that. That is not required. So anyway, even one momentary lapse is enough. So Narada goes to Ishvara to ask a question. Oh, Ishvara, tell me, like, what is Maya? What is Maya? After learning Maya Panchakam, what is Maya? So this Maya is a term, like, which is used very vaguely in many places. So if we, like, discuss with friends, like, if they may say, oh, they say this world is Maya. They say, like, we forget the Ishvara because it is Maya. So do we really know what that Maya is? Definitely no. What is Maya? They say, like, it doesn't exist. What is really Maya? A true Vedantin would say, Maya. Maya doesn't exist at all. Maya is not at all there. Only Brahman exists. And not knowing this is Maya. So if you don't know that Brahman alone exists, then that is Maya. And Maya cannot be proven at all. Maya is just a matter, like, matter of experience. And do you realize Brahman? There are only two states. Whether you know Brahman, you experience bliss, or you don't know Brahman. If you don't know Brahman, if you don't remember Brahman, then Maya is there. If you remember Brahman, only Brahman is there. Both ways, whether you remember Brahman or remember Maya, only Brahman exists at all times. But if you think, like, if you forget Brahman and remember Maya, then you will experience sorrow. If you remember only Brahman, you will experience bliss. So anyway, Narada. So people, like, anyway, the point was, like, people use terms very vaguely. So we should not do that. We should have proper knowledge, proper scriptural backing, scriptural knowledge. So anyway, Narada had this doubt. What is Maya? And therefore he goes to Ishvara to ask, oh, Ishvara, tell me what is Maya. So Ishvara is like Ishvara is a true spiritual master. So true spiritual masters, like, will not answer directly. Theoretical answer will be effective, but practical is something which is more valuable. So that is something like good that happens in the West. So in the East, like theoretical knowledge is given more importance than practical, whereas in the West, practical is given more importance than theoretical. Both are required. So practical, like when we get practical, our theory will become stronger. Our theory like will become very stronger when we have practical. So both should be there. So the, both these aspects is what like Vedanta calls as jnanam and vijnanam. So jnanam means intellectual or theoretical knowledge. When we implement it, it becomes vijnanam or direct intuitive experience. So anyway, Ishvara decided to teach Narada through a direct experience rather than theoretical knowledge. So Ishvara said, come Narada, let's go for a walk. It is snowing outside, let's go for a walk. And Ishvara like started going out. Ishvara took Narada to a hilly place, so to a mountainous region, or whatever is the right word for it. So, and while they were walking, Ishvara said, oh Narada, like before I start explaining, I am thirsty, so can you get some water from the river that is there at the bottom of this mountain or hill, whatever we want to see it, we want to term. So Narada like then went down the hill, and then like he decided, because mountain means you don't say like you can't climb mountain, so anyway some hill. So Narada like went down, and while he was like he got water, and while he was walking back, he saw that somebody was sitting down, like a beautiful girl was sitting down, and she was crying. So Narada looked like he felt sad. He asked, okay, Narada is a very good person, he's good hearted, so he won't run away. So he explained, okay, what is happening, but you're sad. So one thing led to another. Narada said, okay, don't worry, like everything will be fine. Narada took the girl to her house. Her parents were there. Narada like ate a delicious meal, and then like their parents suggested that Narada stay there itself, and then Narada married the girl. He had few children, so they were living happily. And once there was flood in the river, like the flood that is happening now in California or the West region, happened in West region. So there was a flood, and in the flood like everybody like got washed away in the flood. Narada somehow managed to escape. He got down like on the hill, sat on a rock, and he was crying. So he was crying because none of his family members, friends, all the people there in that village died. So all of a sudden he saw somebody walking towards him. The face seemed very similar, but like he couldn't recollect where. So then the face asked Narada, okay, where is my water? Immediately Narada realized that it was Vishnu. So like one momentary lapse, that is Maya. So one momentary lapse, that is enough to delude us. So this doesn't mean we should not, and again like driving. So driving is dangerous, like when the roads are icy, but that doesn't mean like we shouldn't drive. We should be alert. So a sadhaka should always be alert, because this Maya Brahmayati Bhavasagare Nithantam. So this Maya deludes very easily and makes us suffer. Therefore, we have to remain focused on Brahman. If we remember that everything is one Brahman, so just keep that in mind. Like we don't have to logically analyze. We don't have to even have an attitude of surrender. Just keep that in mind. Everything is one Ishvara. So I am going to remember everything is Ishvara. I am going to eat food. I am going to remember this food is Ishvara. Plate is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. So just blindly like remembering that, that is Ananya Bhajanam. That is the direct way to overcome Maya, and like slowly we'll be like rid of sorrow, and at the end of this birth we'll be able to die very happily and very blissfully, so never to be born again. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to remember Ishvara, start remembering Brahman. Or Ishvara is pervading this entire world. Ishvara has everything, Sarvam Brahmamayam. Let's keep that in mind. Let's try to remember that at all points of time, so that this precious human birth is not wasted. in doing normal activities like eating, drinking, sleeping and all, which we have been doing for many, many births. So let this precious human birth become Janma Safalyam Safalam. Like, let this become fulfilled by realizing Brahman through constantly remembering Brahman, keeping Brahman mechanically in our mind, keeping Brahman at all times. So may Amma bless us for the same. We'll continue in the next day, I'm sure.